This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Tuesday, November 13th, 2007. I'm Caleb Brown. On Wednesday, the Cato Institute will host its 25th annual monetary conference. Cato Institute Vice President for Academic Affairs, Jim Dorn, gives us a preview.
Well, this year is our 25th annual monetary conference. I've been doing it since I've been about 10 years old. And we're going to look at monetary arrangements in the 21st century. The very first conference dealt with the search for stable money. So this theme continues. What we're interested in looking at is the monetary institutions and how they can best protect the value of the dollar as well as protect individual freedom.
Detail some of the topics that the speakers will be talking about.
Well, our keynote address this year is going to be given by Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board. And they haven't given us a specific topic, but I think he'll probably be saying something about transparency, the need for transparency at the Fed. The Fed's been moving towards a more transparent monetary regime, announcing what's going on at the Federal Open Market Committee meetings. Bernanke himself has advocated kind of a soft inflation target for the Fed, but not an explicit inflation target regime. So I don't know whether he'll address that or not, but certainly with the subprime mortgage crisis, the falling dollar, monetary policy is more important than ever, and especially transparency. And in addition to Bernanke, we've got the assistant governor of the People's Bank of China, Yi Gang, and we're very fortunate to have him with us. The people from the People's Bank of China normally don't come to the United States very often to give talks. He's going to be discussing the exchange rate regime in China, and as you know, the renminbi, the Chinese currency, is considered to be highly undervalued, which is leading to a huge trade imbalance, both with the United States and China's overall trade surplus is at a record level. So the central bank has been buying up a lot of dollars, and this could lead to inflation in China as the domestic currency expands. So the pegged exchange rate system is creating problems for China, and he is going to address the evolution of a more flexible exchange rate regime, I believe, and also address probably the issue of capital controls. China has a capital controls. They don't allow full convertibility of the currency. If China is going to become a world-class financial institution, it needs to allow capital freedom at some point, full convertibility of the currency. And then the central bank will be more independent and freer to address domestic monetary issues without having to worry about the exchange rate. So the Chinese central bank faces a major challenge today in both trying to peg the exchange rate and prevent inflation. So I believe that Mr. Yi Gang will address in particular the evolution of the exchange rate regime and how institutional changes are occurring and need to occur in the future. In addition, we also have Antonio Martino, a very well-known economist who's a good friend of Cato's. Antonio will be discussing the Eurozone and some of the problems in instituting the euro, but also some of the benefits of the current monetary arrangements there.
Monetary institutions in the 21st century seems somewhat appropriate topic, given the fact that the chairman of the Banking Committee in the U.S. House, Barney Frank, would like to see international controls on the flows of capital.
It's certainly incorrect to think that controlling global capital flows is an advancement for monetary arrangements in the 21st century. In particular, it would do just the opposite, would create great harm. What we're trying to do is get rid of capital controls. In fact, Ben Bernanke 3 years ago spoke at our conference when he was a member of the Board of Governors and argued for mobile capital in this global economy. So you won't find too many economists arguing in favor of capital controls these days. Capital controls create misallocations of capital, and they violate the very principle of freedom that's at the heart of a liberal system, namely people's right to invest their money where they want to without government controls. So what we'd like to see is more capital freedom, not less. And we will be discussing the lessons that we have learned from capital controls in the past. And Miranda Shaffa from the International Monetary Fund will be giving a paper on this very issue.
last year's monetary conference dovetailed kind of strangely because Milton Friedman died that same day. His writing partner, Anna Schwartz, will be talking at this year's conference. What will she be talking about?
Well, she wrote a very nice paper remembering Milton Friedman. In fact, in that paper, she also addresses Paul Krugman's critique of Friedman, showing that it was really vacuous. And she reemphasizes some of the important contributions Milton made to monetary theory. And of course, some of the contributions appear to be almost common sense now. I don't know why anybody questioned them. For example, that inflation is always and everywhere a monetary phenomena. What Milton was always interested in is not just stable prices, but monetary freedom and a sound value of the currency. And what he was concerned about is if the central bank, under discretionary fiat money regime, would print an excessive amount of money and lead to inflation, which would then lead to price controls and undermine economic freedom, just as happened in the United States in the 1970s with wage price controls. And of course, he and Anna worked on their great The Monetary History of the United States, which was written back in the 1960s. And that showed that the Federal Reserve failed miserably during the 1930s in controlling money and providing for normal growth of money to prevent a severe monetary deflation. Between 1930 and 33, the money supply shrank by over a third. And combined with other policies which interfered with economic freedom, led to a Great Depression. And Milton wanted to avoid that. He wanted a simple monetary rule. His preferences changed over time. But he was concerned with limiting the authority of the Fed to a simple target of achieving long-run price stability. Frederick Hayek went further and argued against a monopoly on currency at all and argued for monetary freedom in the sense of allowing competing currencies. So we've looked at these issues throughout the 25-year history of this conference to get back to the really nuts and bolts of a free society and to think in terms of, do we even need a central bank? It might seem like a rather radical question to ask today, but we've had conferences on digital money and the future of money. So we do have more monetary competition today than we had before, if you think of competing national currencies and global mobility of capital. And many countries have moved towards inflation targeting, which is a type of monetary rule. So these ideas are essential to a liberal society, and we hope to continue debating them.
That's Cato Institute Vice President for Academic Affairs, Jim Dorn. You can learn more about the conference at the website cato.org/monetary.